This is Simply Lowai, and you're listening to The Expert with a Heart. Budget 2024, Insights and Impact with Lowai Navlakhi, Managing Director and CEO, International Money Matters Private Limited, and Rahul Jain, Senior Vice President, Advisory and Head Research, International Money Matters Private Limited.
Well, this is going to be an interesting conversation on Simply Lowai, because for the first time, I feel nothing simple about it. But that's where the experts come in handy. We've got Rahul Jain and Lowai Navlakhi, who are going to be part of this Budget 2024 special. And now you know why I'm saying not very simple things are going to be discussed on this particular episode. Plenty of questions in your mind, but let's start with, of course, the major highlights, right? Thank you so much, Lowai and Rahul, for joining us. But what are the major Budget 2024 highlights that you believe set it apart and make it part of living room, drawing room, corridor, all kinds of conversations?
So I think the key things, Sheetal, are that which are outside the tax rates, actually. I think the announcement of revamping the direct tax code and relooking at the way the tax is going to get framed so that it is simpler, and there's a time limit announced of within 6 months they're going to come up with the first draft, is very interesting. I think the other thing, there was a big confusion in income tax on how long did you have to hold an asset before it became long-term. There was 1 year for something, 2 years for something, 3 years for something else. So at least that has got streamlined to 1 year and 2 years. Bit of confusion on that, but we'll hopefully not talk about it later. And the third element that I can see is possibly the simplicity in tax rates coming in with the removal of indexation. So it's now a straightforward calculation. Unfortunately, many of our and the chartered accountant's jobs will come down because, you know, people can actually take a calculator and say, okay, 20%, 12.5%. Those are the top three in my mind, particularly from a personal standpoint. And I thought that we should continue focusing as our businesses on individuals more than on companies. Of course, we will cover a little bit of that as we go on.
So, you know, to come to impact, right, on individuals and businesses, now that Lowai has explained to us the major highlights, how that generally affects our lives, but individuals and business, if you could make the distinction and help us, walk us through some of the points that leap out at you.
Yeah, so individually, people look at the headline numbers, and we all know there is some bit of a tax change in the individual tax slabs, which is positive. There is, on the investment side, they have made a lot of changes, lot of tinkering in the rates. Some are positive, some are negative. That's the direct impact to the individual. And to the companies, again, I would bifurcate Indian companies, foreign companies, because that is what is changed in this budget. For foreign companies, there is a tax reduction. While doing the business in India, it was 40% tax rate. It has come down to 35%. That is only for a specific set of companies. But domestically, I would say the big plus is the ecosystem, which will get enhanced with the youth. Oh, say 1 crore job is what they are talking about, additional jobs. So this entire ecosystem will get built, which is positive for the entire economy. Could be manufacturing sector, could be technology, could be infrastructure. All these are the sectors which will get impacted positively because of this.
You know, I want to dwell a little bit more on the individual over here, because, you know, the favorite part of the layperson's activity on day two after budget is to look at what got cheaper, what got more expensive. Absolutely. I love that. So if you can tell us about that impact on people, am I going to be left with a lot more money now to look at investing in various other areas, or because, you know, things have gotten cheaper, my phones and everything, or is my life, or is there a hidden something over there that's going to come back and bite me in some way?
I think the biggest one for you directly could be gold and silver has got cheaper. It was expensive than any other countries. We had a custom duty that got reduced. So there is an immediate impact on the gold and silver prices yesterday itself. And this is to the tune of 5% correction that has happened already. So gold and silver is definitely cheaper. In case you want to buy more, you can definitely buy more. But yeah, there are other line items, small items on the duties that they have reduced. But again, headline-wise, mobile phones, for example, could be slightly more cheaper going forward. But I think this was more on the tax front. You will have slightly more disposable income because straight away 17,500, depending on what slab individual falls into, comes as a disposable income, if I have to say so. You can spend 17,500 per year more.
So you have plenty of reasons to rejoice, right? Loai and Rahul over here. But that brings me to equity and bond markets. A lot of flutter over there as well. Investor sentiment, if you can tell us about what that sentiment is all about and how the markets have been affected.
So I think in a large way, people were very active in the futures and options space. And I think the finance ministry has expressed that they were a little worried about that, because first time investors going into an area which is deemed to be speculative is not really good, because at some point there will be a correction. I think the people who have invested in the last maybe a year and a half or two think that markets will always go up all the time. And, you know, we know from experience and from experience that, you know, this is not true. So some bit of tinkering on the rates that apply when you are trading in futures and options, that probably is something that they have done to indicate that, you know, be a little careful. So I think to that extent, good. But I think the big headline, which was the capital gains tax going up for the short term, capital gains tax on equity going up from 15% to 20%, was something of a dampener first. And then long-term capital gains tax also going up from 10% to 12.5% was not really looked upon by investors fondly. I think as soon as that got announced, the markets really plummeted. And it took a while before people sort of understood there are other pluses in this, and therefore it's not as bad as it sounds. So to that extent, yes, the market did not expect this, because till few years ago, equity capital gains was zero. So we thought we are going to remain in this nice floaty state of no taxes. But I think indications of this are that ultimately long-term, short-term capital gains, and if you look at international markets, will possibly converge at maybe slightly higher rates than what it is today. That seems to be the direction. But it's early days on that.
And while on the subject of equity markets, what are the other asset? I mean, for example, what should the approach of an investor be? Will there be any radical changes to my asset allocation, my portfolio, my mix, etc.? Will that happen?
So I think if you look at asset allocation, you have to keep in mind the long-term goals that you have. And frankly, you know, there is a lot of noise about the budget on the day and the next few days. And then life settles, and then you realize that the goals that you had continue to be where they are. I don't think you change too much. Yes, you take into account that, oh, I'll have lesser money as a result of this, or more money as a result of a change in a tax rate. But otherwise, life goes on as normal, I would think.
But I just want to add, so we do look at clients, look at the absolute number, saying how much am I making, what is the tax outgo. And the asset class having the higher taxation typically sees less of a, I would say, favored sector or segment. Say, for example, debt. The moment taxation is at the marginal tax rate, there were less of a taker in that asset class. And as an advisor, as an asset allocator, I think this is a fantastic budget, because it brings in gold, which is more favorable from the tax standpoint. The differential of taxation from equity and debt, which was large, has narrowed down. So to that extent, if I'm an asset allocator, I think I will then focus more on the asset allocation and not run behind saying, it is not very lucrative for me to get into this asset class because I lose out 30% straight away. And another big one is, I think that's the biggest one according to me, is the international equities. Since we are India, we always have a home country bias. We say India is the best and all those things. But historically, if you look at the data, US markets are also phenomenally well performed in the last decade or two. And if you have been saying, I do not want that because the taxation is high, you are losing out on something. But at least as an asset allocator, our job is to just tell. But as an investor, they say, okay, why should I take? It's okay, India is doing well. But now you have a strong reason to say there is no harm. Tax-wise, straight away there is a 20% change, if I have to say so. Earlier it was taxed at a marginal tax rate, 30%. Now it is 12.5%. So to that extent, it is simplified, and yet it is very positive for certain asset classes like this.
So the other important point, you know, and this is where the simplification or the complexification of things has happened with respect to Budget 2024, taxation changes, right? People need to understand how that really comes into play across different asset classes. So if you could spend some time explaining these changes, that would be great.
So I can break this down across different asset classes. Equities, if I have to say, mutual funds, direct equities, stocks, which was taxed at long term, considered as more than 1 year holding, is now considered as 12.5% instead of 10%. So there is a 2.5% increase in long term listed equity taxation. 1 year plus is long term, and 1 year less than 1 year is considered as short term, which has moved from 15% to 20%. Now, that has been the biggest increase in overall line item if I have to look at it. But for a long-term investor, ideally, this is not applicable because your horizon is more than 1 year. But as per regulator, there is a lot of frothy activity which is there in the market. So for those investor, traders, this is going to be a dampener from 15% to 20%. On the debt piece, in the last budget, they have removed the tax benefit. So it was taxed at the marginal tax rate, no changes in that. There is gold, which was again taxed at the marginal tax rate, is a big positive. Now it is considered as 1 year plus holding is long term. And it is at par with equity taxation, which is again a very good thing. That is 12.5%. And if you hold for less than 12 months, it is considered as short term, which means again simplified non-equity tax treatment as marginal tax rate. Bond 1 year plus again is 12.5%. Earlier it was 10%, and 12 months remains constant for this as well. And I think the biggest one is on the property also. There I think they have tried to bring equity and property at the same page. Earlier, there was the indexation benefit, and I suppose indexation is gone from the entire system, if I have to say so, forever. As of now, there is the taxation benefit, which was saying inflation benefit given to the investor for the period that they hold, adjusting to whatever is the inflation. That is the indexation benefit is what we say. So the consideration was 3 year plus holding was considered as long term. They have brought this down to 2 year considered as long term now. Tax rate of 20% with indexation is scrapped. So there is no indexation. It is considered as 12.5%. 20 has come down to 12.5, but you have to let go of the indexation benefit. Now there is also a big debate about what about the old ancestral property, someone who has bought in say 1960s, 70s, because the gains are going to be huge. So there was also one clause wherein you have to value your property at the fair market valuation in the year 2001. So that clause was anyway there, that still remains. So which means you value your property till 2001 as the fair market valuation. From there till the date you sell, which is today onwards or yesterday, 23rd July onward, if there is any sale, you pay the capital gain tax at the rate of 12.5%, but if you have sold it between from 1st April 2024 till 22nd July 2024, then again, I think CA will have a slightly more complex job, and our tracking sheet will also have maybe two more line items now, because you have to break down this financial data also into two parts. So then it remains like a 20% with indexation.
And I think on real estate, I think there have been a lot of responses as to whether the old regime is better or the new regime. And we did some sort of backward calculation to say that if you are holding a property for, say, 10 years and it appreciated by more than 10% per annum, then the new regime is fine and better. But if the rate of increase is less than that, then the indexation benefit or the old regime was better. However, this is academic, because any case, if you have not sold it and you are going to sell it now, there is no indexation benefit. The other piece that we were discussing was that earlier you could reinvest the capital gains that you calculated in another property and save the tax. So that rule is still prevalent and applicable.
However, now, because there'll be no indexation, your gain amount will be larger. So there's a larger amount for you to invest in a new property to avoid or, you know, get your tax liability down to zero. So that is another change. I think one other aspect is on international funds, where if you hold for more than 2 years, there is a long-term capital gains applicability. Last year, with the change in the debt rules, international funds are also treated on par with that. So international equity funds now get a little favorable treatment. I think one other area is on the unlisted stocks. And in unlisted stocks, now essentially you get a 12.5% tax rate if it's long term versus earlier a 20% with indexation. And I think to some extent that is positive for, you know, startup and private equity, that type of investment. There's one other benefit that came in. There was a concept of angel tax, which has got removed. So that's again a plus. So it looks like for private equity, startups, etc., it's a good, positive sort of movement. Yes, change.
So for the investor who is looking at long-term asset allocation, I think this is a favorable one. But if someone is looking at more of a trading activity, which I think our regulators have already hinted us saying there is a lot of activity and they may penalize, but that's what it is, only for the smaller section of the market. And that is where sometimes a lot of noise saying taxes have gone up. But in a lot of places, there are benefits also, which has been given.
You know, given that this is Modi 3.0, and you spoke about noise, but the nicer word for, I don't know what the opposite of noise is, but this bluster, right? Are there any budget measures that you believe have the potential for transformative growth? And maybe how does it impact then me nice to say the jobs are going to be created and so many good things are going to happen, but how does that really boil down to me finally?
The things that we would discuss with investors earlier was that India had a good trajectory of GDP growth, and that was a positive for the markets. The question mark always was employment. You know, there are so many youth, it's a demographic dividend, etc. But if they are not going to find jobs, that's going to be a problem. So to that extent, positive. I think the issue will also be that as a result of that, companies will start doing better because finding people to work for them was also a problem. Now it's a combination of a little push from the government, some incentives. If you recruit some type of people, some benefit on the EPFO contribution. So those are, I think, pluses that have happened. And I mean, at the end of the day, some of these things are indirect. I mean, it's like a question saying, if I pay taxes for roads, is the road outside my house going to get done? Otherwise, why should I pay? There are so many potholes. I think if you look at it more from the overall economy standpoint, there are pluses. There's one other area which I think we should mention, which is the increase in NPS that is permitted. So now you're permitted to invest up to 14% of your basic in NPS, and that will continue getting a tax break. So particularly for people who are looking at contributing for their retirement and making sure that the income that you have is tax-free to that extent. You know, now more than, instead of 10%, now you can probably put in 14%.
And speaking of the employee, right, the TCS and TDS, suddenly I saw TCS in the newspaper. I said, what are they doing? And there's the organization doing tax collected at source. So if you can explain that and how that impacts a salaried professional.
So from what I know, the tax collection at source is something that happens when you're remitting money overseas. So you needed to deduct some tax on your own and, you know, then remit the money, so that I think government knew or income tax knew that you sent money overseas and it was to a legit account and so on and so forth. And you could, of course, claim it back. So tax deduction at source happens when someone else is paying you and then they deduct at source. In this case, you're paying out yourself and you're doing it, and that's tax collection at source. So I think that's the primary difference.
So now what they have done is, as a salaried employee, I can tell my employer saying, I have traveled, there is a 10 lakh rupees of expenditure I have done, on that there is a TCS, because for remittance I have to pay some TCS, which is a tax collected at source, that's equivalent to an advance tax. But when my salary is coming, there is a TDS which is also getting deducted. So I can now go to my company and say, hey, there is already a TCS which is sitting in the system, so please adjust that. And it is allowed as per the new regulation.
Yeah, and I think something else on income from house property and loss from house property also can be taken into account when your employer deducts your tax month on month. I think that's a change that has come in. There is a talk, of course, of a mention of TCS coming on any expensive goods that you will buy from April 25 above 10 lakhs, that there is going to be a TCS on that as well. So if you're thinking of buying some expensive gadgets, go ahead and do it before 31st of March.
Speaking of dates, right? This has scrambled my brain. You know, you said 31st of March. What are these different dates, and how are there different deadlines for different things that we need to now factor in?
And there could be one more date. I'm thinking is that this budget is a proposal. The finance bill is a proposal. It needs to get passed. And who knows if during the passing of the budget, some of these changes proposed are modified. I wonder what will happen if people have taken action between 23rd July and the date of passing, assuming that it will get passed at a particular way, and then that's modified. And, I'm...
Should be interesting.
Shudding to think what will happen with that one. But
yeah, but these are the hard-coded dates now, which is there in the tax filing reports, and everyone just refers these dates. You cannot do much about it. Just that we have to remember this, system have to get aligned. But yes.
So as a final question, Rahul and Lovai, in light of these budget changes, what opportunistic decisions can one take as an investor, or approach can one take to investing according to you as financial experts?
So I think this is every year phenomena, first of all. Not that this we are hearing for the first time, and you will always hear the talk saying, what do you expect in budget? And it is no one's guess. I mean, we don't know. But honestly speaking, we have looked at where do we stand today in terms of the valuation, in terms of the asset allocation, which is what our core job is. And not only budget, I suppose there are bigger events which has been happening globally every year, every now and then. And you cannot just keep on actioning on the basis of this. So we have in fact sent out a note to our investors saying, I think there is a chance to or opportunity to do the profit booking because markets have been expensive and your asset allocation, equity allocation must have gone higher. So why don't you relook at it? It could be higher, lower, whatever percentage it is, but it is irrespective of this budget. We did not know that the taxations are going to go higher, but because the valuations were expensive, we have sent out this note. But now what happened is with the new tax changes, there are certain asset allocation which needs a, not only asset allocation, there are wrappers, if I have to say, in mutual funds, which helps us design the portfolio slightly more differently, because the underlying equity debt allocation may be different, but the tax wrappers sometimes makes the changes. And we have also seen not only in budget, after budget also there are a lot of changes which keeps on happening. But today we just go by what is right for the investor irrespective of this, because maybe 85%, 90% of the return comes from the asset allocation, if I have to say so. And it is also differential between a trader versus a short-term investor versus a long-term investor. As an asset allocator, you always see they are long-termish in nature. In that context, 2%, 2.5% is not going to be a game changer. And if it is a game changer, then what is the best asset class which is available? Then you fall back to, say, bank FDs. That is anyway 30% taxed. So in a relative term, I think we are back to the normal. People will forget about it because you're paying taxes on the returns. It's not that your capital is getting taken away by the government. It is when you make money, you pay 12.5% instead of 10%, which is not going to be a big game changer. But irrespective of this budget, as I mentioned, our job has always been what is the right asset allocation. And sometimes if there are tax efficient instrument to get the same asset allocation is what is more critical for the advisor to look at it.
my message would be that, you know, at the end of the day, your goals are important. So stick to that. If there are anything, any of the goals coming up in the shorter term, do not take risk. Even from a longer term standpoint, as Rahul mentioned, you know, looking at valuations is very important to determine whether there a particular asset class is attractive or not. And at this point in time, for sure, small cap and mid cap is looking frothy. At this point in time, I think world over, all negatives are being ignored. So there are uncertainties in many parts of the globe. But everyone thinks outcomes are going to be favorable. So I think that's important to keep in mind. Possibly two things that people might have underweighted themselves. One, gold. And because of the fall as a result of cut in duty, you can relook at how much your allocation is and, you know, invest a part of your money in gold. Also, keeping in mind that there is uncertainty in the world, and during that time, you know, that asset class really does quite well. And the second area, because of slightly favorable taxation, is the international space. Because I think as a investor, the home bias needs to reduce, and you need to have allocations outside. So I think that these are two things that one would keep in mind. I think the real estate, there's been a lot of talk that I should have sold my property earlier or not. But I think at the end of the day, one remembers and looks at what is the objective of that investment. If it was for one for my son, one for my daughter, etc. Unfortunately, most of them are not interested in that type of asset class. So figure out the best time and price to sort of rationalize your investments. I think these are critical things to take into account. And of course, the perennial message that, you know, while you are investing for growth, for safety, all the purposes, but you are also investing that your asset is protected. So make sure nominations are in place, your will is in place. I think sometimes you tend to forget these things while the noise of the budget is coming in. And I think it's a good time to remember that as well.
On that note, thank you for simplifying what we thought will not be such a simple exercise at all. But then this is called Simply Lowai plus Rahul, I should say, on this particular episode. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you
so much.
That was an episode of the Simply Lowai podcast series, Expert with a Heart.